Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Soul Speak, the retreat, the learning and retreat event for your soul. I'm your host, Sheldon Pisnat, and in this session, we're going to be talking with Linda Hall about mindfulness, self-compassion, and managing stress and illness, and a lot more. It's such a pleasure to be here with you all again. Thank you for being part of this loving field, the supportive, uplifting field that we are co-creating together just by being on the line together. I am grateful. It is my intention that you receive the maximum value available to you through this collective experience, the maximum upliftment, awareness, awakening, clarity, and learning. So set an intention for yourselves as well. Just join into that intention with me, and so be it. Now, a little background on Linda Hall. Linda has over 25 years' experience in the integrative healthcare field as a healer, psychology practitioner, personal development coach, meditation teacher, and audio author. She teaches meditation and mind-body awareness for personal growth and transformation. And I could go on and on about Linda Hall. She's got a lot of accolades and credentials, but I can't. We don't want to go into all that. That's on her bio, and we'll talk. It'll probably integrate itself along the interview. But let's get into the good stuff. Linda, thanks for being here. Welcome.
It's an absolute pleasure, Sheldon. Hi.
Hi. Why don't you start off? This is a good segue. Tell us a bit about your work and what led you to it.
Okay. So I teach mindfulness-based meditation and mind-body awareness, combined with some simple psychology as self-help tools for managing stress or chronic illness. Now, often the two go together. I show people how to bring about positive shifts in their physical, emotional, and mental states, and how to make mindful choices to support their health and well-being. I was chronically ill myself with ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, for almost a decade, and I went through some dark and challenging times. I know what it feels like to be chronically stressed, exhausted, burnt out, isolated, depressed, in pain, and have low self-esteem. I used to be extremely driven, always pushing myself hard, and was constantly self-critical. But illness is a great teacher. In learning to manage my symptoms and bring my body down into a healing state, it helped me to value and love myself more and eventually turn my health around. Meditation and understanding how the mind affects the body made a profound difference to my recovery. And I passionately wanted to share with other people what had worked with me so it could help them.
That seems to be such a common denominator with folks. You know, we have this passion to share with the world what has really helped us, what has made a profound impact in our lives. And it's so beautiful because there's such an abundance of resources out there when we're doing that for different periods of our life. And it's great, you know, I know that from your the conference call that you do globally on meditation and mindfulness and the topic you're sharing, that there's so many people out there that right now that benefit from those experiences that you go through, and you're learning how to work with them.
Absolutely. And I think when you've been there yourself, you're coming from a very alive place. You know, you're not teaching from a theory point of view, but you've had the experience, and perhaps you're still, you know, managing certain aspects as we all do, continuing to manage and grow. Then that's a very rich source for to teach. To come from when you're sharing with other people.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the theory, especially when it comes, well, not especially, but any kind of transformation, personal growth, psychology, you know, there's such a difference with practitioners that have been through the experience and the experiential learning model rather than the blackboard and theory model. I mean, boy, I know when I saw my first psychologist when I was about 16, my parents sent me, I was getting a lot of trouble, and not a lot of trouble, but a decent amount of trouble. And I remember that this person just, he was, I would say, one of those people who was operating from the school of pure theory and no experience. And there was just no connection.
I think the connection is absolutely, vital. And having had experience yourself, then you have empathy with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think empathy is such an important part of working with anybody.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what are some of the things, the learnings, let's say, you really gain from coming through that challenging time? How does that translate to working with people now?
Sure. So many. I guess the first thing I learned was that there are so many different forms of stress, and some of them quite subtle, that having a cumulative effect on undermining health and well-being. It's like over time, the daily drip-drip effect can do a lot of damage. And the trouble is we tend to normalize the levels of stress or any other state we're carrying and not notice until it's too late, until we experience some sort of breakdown in our physical or mental health. You don't have to be anxious about anything specific. Generalized anxiety, lack of confidence, a tendency to be hard on yourself or view things in a negative way, all keep the body in a constant state of distress. Overwork, overexcitement, technology overload, engaging with things too intensely, lack of sleep, poor nutrition, toxins and illness, will add to that burden of stress on the body, as do environmental stress factors such as your home environment, perhaps, and workplace, or your significant relationships if there's some problem there. I became fascinated with the exquisite connection between the mind and the body. Our minds aren't separate from our bodies. The mind and body form one integral whole. Every thought we have sends messages instantly through our bodies, to our bodies rather, via neural pathways and cellular memory, which triggers the release of biochemicals and hormones, which manifest as our feelings, emotions, and sensations. Our autonomic nervous system responds by either going into the sympathetic stress response, otherwise known as fight or flight, or the parasympathetic relaxation response. I always say that where you go in your head with your thinking, you go in your body. So be aware of where you take your body. What happens to your body affects your mind at any given moment. So it works both ways. Your body is a highly evolved biofeedback organism if you learn how to listen to it. And I think over those months and years, as I was ill for, as I said, almost a decade, I really had to learn how to listen to my body. Every experience is laid down in complex networks of neural pathways and cellular memory, much like an organic computer. It's the body's way of storing information. Each time you revisit an experience, the neural pathways specific to that experience grow more dense. And this is how we learn everything, from acquiring a taste for coffee or riding a bike, to being anxious or confident. It's how habits are formed. And the more we repeat experiences and strengthen those neural pathways, the stronger those habits become. So we can get good at feeling helpless, as is often the case when we have a chronic condition like stress or chronic stress and chronic illness, just as we can get good at feeling confident. And one of the things I learned during this time of moving towards better health, because part of my journey was actually training as a psychology practitioner. So I got to learn a bit more about how sort of the nuts and bolts of the neuroscience of things. And what excited me then and what still excites me is that we have something that neuroscience calls neuroplasticity, the capacity to grow an almost infinite number of new neural pathways in our lifetimes, which basically means that each of us is capable of changing the way we think, feel, and behave. Unhelpful habits can be replaced with more useful ones. Another important thing I learned was the nervous system autonomic stress response actually blocks the body from returning to a state of equilibrium and balance, because its purpose is to put all of its systems on red alert. Whereas the relaxation response is the body's natural healing state. Its purpose is to restore, repair, and replenish. So obviously, that's the state we want to be in as much as possible to support recovery. Mm. I guess the most important thing I learned was how to control my stress levels, and that it was not only in my power to bring my stress levels down, but I could choose not to become stressed in the first place. Practicing mindfulness, which I'd practiced for some years, but not at any great depth, because I guess I didn't really have such an incentive. And when you have ME and chronic fatigue syndrome, your nervous system is so hyper, it's so finely tuned and reactive that it's in overwhelm most of the time from anything, from sound, talking, thinking, being with other people. So it's a really important thing to be able to bring your stress levels down. And practicing mindfulness enabled me to see that I had mostly been doing the stress to myself through half a lifetime's unhelpful thinking and behavior habits. Mindfulness gave me the power of choice, to choose to interact with myself and my life in more useful ways. And developing an attitude of self-compassion, which is hugely important when you're ill or when you're stressed, removed a huge burden of ongoing stress caused by self-criticism and lack of confidence. It allowed me to acknowledge and look after my own needs better, work on my self-esteem, and also heal unaddressed and unresolved emotional issues. So in my work now...
Linda, can I jump in and ask you a question?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Please do.
Could I? Yeah. Could you just define mindfulness, your definition of mindfulness for us, please?
That's a good question. My definition of mindfulness is the ability to step to one side and notice from an unjudgmental, less attached state. So like you're not 200% lost in that emotion or that feeling or that discomfort or that thought. You notice it as something that's happening in the moment. And that's a great sort of muscle to build, that sense of being able to just sit back and notice, so that when you do get a discomfort or a pain, it doesn't become everything. When you do feel a feeling of anxiety coming on, you can notice it as something that's happening and choose something else. Because once we notice, We've already slightly dissociated from being 200% in something, and it gives us a choice, or it gives us more choices, rather. So you can choose to let that anxious thought go. You can choose to allow the discomfort to be there. You can choose to breathe out if you're holding your breath in, or put your shoulders down if they're held up high.
Thank you for that. Yeah, for me, it's the I am observing self-talk, self-statement. I'm observing this thought that I'm having. I'm observing the sensation in my body. And the immediate altitude, distance, disassociation, as you called it, from being run in the energy of that thought, feeling, sensation, to distance and to hold a different energy, more neutrality, and then, as you said, a choice. So thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, so I think you were about to, before I stepped in there, if you can, well,
absolutely.
You can get back to if you can. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked as well. So through, or in my work with teaching people mindfulness and basic mind-body awareness, you know, how the mind affects the body and the body affects the mind. It's really important because most people tend to live in their thoughts. We're a very thinking orientated society, world. And especially when we're stressed, we tend to not really be very in touch with our body unless it pains us in some way or stress or sometimes it's through pleasure as well. But through helping people to understand that sort of exquisite connection, they can get in touch with their own needs, what they need in the moment, which is really important. And acknowledge those needs with respect and compassion and act on them appropriately. So their minds and their bodies can return to a state of balance and get on with the business of healing themselves. I think, again, we live in a world that's not just mind, you know, very head-led, but it's very control-orientated. And it's easy to get into that state where we think that we need to be in control of absolutely everything. And it's quite apart from the fact that it's just not possible. It's not the nature of life. What we don't realize is, what we're not taught is that our mind and our body, they have like this template of knowing how to move back towards a relative state of balance if we give them the opportunity. Whether that's through taking better nutrition, being mindful, being more compassionate, it's usually a combination of
all the above, huh?
All the above. So
you know, I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just curious. And you can address this after your statement or when you're ready. I'm curious as to what are some of the most common blocks people experience while being able to manage the symptoms of stress and chronic illness, which, you know, what are those most common blocks that tend to stand in people's way of that health and relaxation template you're speaking of?
That's a really good question. Well, it sort of segues nicely from what we've just been talking about. One of the most common blocks is not being present. Constantly living in the future or the past, which usually means worrying about the future and fretting about the past. I help people recognize that being present enables them to make positive choices that not only affect their current state, but their future too. Another common block is being self-critical and having low self-esteem, which is one of the things that I did I had in bucket loads. People can sometimes see everything as their own fault and feel they're not doing things right. Mm-hmm. I help them to heal that inner critic and learn to appreciate and love themselves instead. Self-compassion is like a glue that supports everything, and it is a perfect companion to mindfulness. And this builds our confidence and self-esteem. Another common block is feeling helpless and disempowered. A tendency to always see the worst case scenario and catastrophize in their thinking, believing everything's out of their control and nothing's going to change for the better. So I show them how to use mindfulness, self-compassion, and mind-body awareness combined with positive thinking to bring about shifts in their current state, to create positive experiences, a library of positive experiences they can build on. And I guess another block can often be feeling impatient at the recovery progress, at the time it's taking them to recover, and angry at being ill in the first place. So I help people to identify, and I think it's important that people do identify the drivers behind our impatience so they can manage them, and the drivers behind their anger through mindfulness and self-compassion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what are some of the most important things people can do to bring about positive change in their situation?
So the first most important thing they need to have is a positive attitude and a clear intention. They must want to change their lives for the better and truly believe it's a worthwhile endeavor. The second thing they need is,
Well, it just strikes me that that's really that commitment we're talking of. You know, we can go through it through pain and rock bottom, or not. And one of the things that's so helpful is just coming full circle back to what you spoke about in the beginning of that empathy of going through, have gone through an experience, so that we can assist someone else who might be going through experience. It's sometimes hard to have that positive attitude you're speaking of if we don't feel hopeful at all, and that we really can. And that's where that having that person that's, gosh, you've been through that, you know, exactly, that's my story. And look at you now. Boy, your energy's great. You know, and that's, I think, so important.
It's important to inspire, I think. And you just mentioned the word commitment. Now, that's really important, being willing to engage with, you know, someone must be willing to engage with their own self-care and be prepared to persevere. Because no matter how inspiring you are, they have to put in the legwork.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's important to work at learning to love and value yourself. This doesn't happen overnight. So many people, for a whole range of reasons, I know you'll know through your own work, don't know how to love themselves. It's something that's unfamiliar. And it builds, it develops over time, and it's being prepared to be patient with that. So the next thing people need is to trust in their own individual healing process and to respect that. So with all of those in place, putting in practice the self-care practices, mindfulness, mind-body awareness, combined with self-compassion, they have the power of choice to notice and address their own needs, to be able to choose balance, calm, peace of mind, happiness and self-empowerment over stress, anxiety, fear, and feeling helpless. And their self-compassion enables them to develop a healthy relationship with themselves, to be kind to themselves, to value, respect, like, and love themselves, to believe in themselves. And if you put all of these together, they've got the tools to support their own health and well-being. And when you're looking to manage chronic stress and chronic illness, all of those things will allow you to bring your nervous system down again and again throughout the day and retrain your body not to do, for stress not to be its default mode, to hold yourself during times when it's difficult. And to start to really envisage in a proactive way a life for yourself that is more positive, that is more fulfilling, at the same time as managing your situation in the present, which is going to be difficult sometimes, with a greater level of acceptance, so you're not fighting against it. Mm. You're moving with your own flow and really being the one that holds your own hand, because that's the most important person to hold your hand. It's yourself, the most important person to like you and support you and to mentor you is you.
Beautiful. Lovely. It's like this, when you were talking about the ingredients or the factors, bringing them all together, it just sounded like this. I like to eat and I like to cook. I'm an Italian. So I thought immediately of this wonderful soup or dish, and just like for the soul, it just, yeah, that sounds great. Well, that's a great segue now, especially looking at our time, to move into letting people know a little bit more about you. You're offering your free gift of guided meditations. We can talk about that and mm-hmm. and what you're working on and, you know, what's going on for you. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit with our audience on that, please.
Thank you, Sheldon. So the free gift that I'm giving is an album, a collection of three guided meditations that are also psychology processes. So within these guided meditations, they contain processes that will help you grow. They'll give you, hopefully, a different experience to perhaps what you've been used to having. The first one looks at how to manage anxiety thinking patterns and unhelpful thought patterns, busy mind, that sort of thing, when you're in your head too much. The second one looks at managing and how to deal with feelings and sensations that perhaps are a bit uncomfortable, emotions that you don't necessarily feel okay with being there, or perhaps you're in pain, or you just feel a little distressed in some way. So that guided meditation helps you to be with your current state in a way, with greater acceptance. It helps you use your breath and your mind to make it easier for yourself. The third meditation is all about that pesky inner critic that we all have, you know, the voice that's always telling us we're doing something wrong and causes us ongoing stress. It's like we're holding a stick up to ourselves, you know, beating ourselves up all the time. So this meditation is about healing that part of you that feels like it needs to do that. It's called Healing the Inner Critic. And these three guided meditations were devised in together with the psychology practitioners of a clinic that who I work with, who specialize in chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia ME called the Optimum Health Clinic. And they're an integrated clinic that balances nutrition, good nutrition, sound nutrition with psychology in the treatment of these conditions. So I'm really excited about that as a free giveaway to, you don't have to have chronic stress or illness, by the way, to benefit from this free giveaway. And the work which I'm just launching is a piece of work which I've spent about a year getting together. It's a collection of four albums that combine mindfulness and self-compassion for health and well-being. And it covers a broad cross-section of different meditation traditions. It's not just mindfulness, but it is mindfulness-based. And the self-compassion is the glue that holds everything together. There's positive thinking in there, there's creative visualization, there's breathing exercises, relaxation exercises. And the different thing about this album or this collection is that each meditation, which is focused on something specific, a specific way of helping you, of helping you learn, is followed by a short track with suggestions of how to incorporate what you've experienced in the meditation into your day-to-day living. So there'll be a short track after each meditation giving mindfulness exercises. So that helps bring it alive, really. And
awesome.
And if people want to access that, they can access it through my website. It's also on sale in at iTunes, Amazon, Audible. And a lot of my work is free on my YouTube channel, Linda Hall Guided Meditations.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking about it as you're talking about the free gift, your freebie for our audience, as well as the other content on YouTube. And I was thinking, wow, your guided, your voice and energy just, you know, can't help but relax people, relax me. I just feel relaxed listening to your calm voice. It's
oh, great. Bless you. Well, I was lucky. I was born with it, Sheldon.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Linda Hall, for being here with us and sharing all this wonderful, beautiful knowledge. And thank you for your work that you do and your service. We appreciate you.
It's been a real pleasure to spend time with you, Sheldon, and to share what I do with your listeners. And I really hope that it helps people, especially those who are going through a tough time right now and perhaps feel there isn't much hope. Keep hope alive and regain your power.
Yeah, there is hope. I mean, if I was at a rock bottom once, and I didn't for many years, I didn't think there was hope, and there is. So if I can, and a lot of us have been through that, so there absolutely is. And I do have a soft spot for sure for anyone feeling lost and alone and not quite sure if there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There absolutely is, can be. So let's just send out a special positive blessing to anyone out there feeling that way. And I'm so appreciative so let's take a moment for that. Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate everybody here coming together in this community, and so appreciate you. Thank you. And tune in for the next session and let's get together again and have a discussion and a talk and an upliftment. Once again, this has been Soul Speak. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, audience. Talk to everybody soon.
Bye-bye, Sheldon. Thank you.